Derek, Derek, he's flown off today, actually, believe it or not.
Flown off to where?
To Greece.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's left me a stew.
Greece? Oh, that's nice. Everyone's going on holiday, he said. That's right. So, how did you meet up? Was he already in the band?
Well, Derek actually joined the same time as I did. They needed a vocalist and a keyboard player, and we both went up there. I think I went up there the first day for the first sort of audition. Sort of got in, and that was it.
Oh dear, oh, absolutely, I'm lost for words, never mind. Paul has kindly just told me, right, he's whizzed back from the studio after remixing your brand new single.
Yes.
You have done. If you lean over, okay, and with the aid of modern technology, you'll be able to hear this. It's a brand new offering from First Light, entitled AM. Very nice too, young Paul. It's a brand new offering from First Light, entitled I Am. All right, just in case you're wondering what is going on, I'm here joined in the studio by Paul Hardcastle, one of the members of First Light, in fact, the innovator of First Light. Paul, first things first, mate, put down the request. I asked him to read some requests there, and he's going, oh, I don't know what to do. Oh, I'm panicking. Right, now, when I first arrived on Horizon some time ago, everybody was talking about direct drive. Stay on, settle there. And obviously, you were the innovation behind direct drive as well. Tell us all about it.
Well, what can I say? We all sort of put our own sort of bits into that. Mm-hmm. Direct driver still carrying on.
Right.
They've got some sort of new material which they're sort of putting together. Yeah, I've heard some of it. I still sort of see the guitarist.
Right.
And they got some good stuff coming out, but. They're just sort of getting it all together.
What I wanted to ask you is that when, in fact, you gave me the copy of, I've forgotten it now, Time Is Running, no, get it right, Horse With No Name and...
Oh yeah, Don't Be Mistaken.
Don't Be Mistaken, right. you said to me, oh, we're no longer with, so why was the split? Was there any sort of...
No fanatical reason, it's just Derek and myself wanted to try something else out.
Right.
As you heard, like, we done Horse With No Name.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Direct Drive would have actually wanted to do that with us.
Oh, really?
So, I'm not saying they wouldn't, but we didn't feel like they would. Yeah. So we sort of wanted to go in a few more little directions, mm-hmm. and I think they wanted to stay where they was. We just left and done our own sort
Does
of
it thing. Not seem strange then that, like, you joined Direct Drive and then, like, 8-10 weeks and then you were off and doing your own thing?
It does in a way, but... that's the sort of thing that happens, really.
Really?
People just do that in bands,
Is there any animosity between you and the other members of the band?
I'm around Roberts a lot.
Oh, that's good. So you obviously still, you buy him a beer now and again.
I was up, we went to Manchester a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we was going to do a gig with him.
I see. Now, what I'd like to ask you is, right, often or not, I've met various people on my travels around, clubs and travel. Let me emphasise the word clubs, all right? And I've met a couple of guys and I said, look, we're getting a band together and things like that, we want to play. I mean, what happens? Is it just the luck of the draw? Or
I think, quite honestly, we have been quite lucky. I mean, as I say, sort of going straight into a band and then getting your music put onto vinyl and things like that, you do have to have certain elements of luck on that. And I think, personally, I have been very lucky.
Right.
Up to now.
Yeah. The reason why I say that is, I mean, obviously we all know about Lynx and Central One and
right
and all those kind of people. They really sort of shoot up and they make the pot shots. But, like, what about guys like yourself? I mean, do you not think, is this going to be really hard?
Well, at the moment we're in a tangle at the moment because we're just in the process of maybe moving to a much bigger label.
Right.
Oval actually felt, that they couldn't. They tried to mm-hmm. give us the push, but they haven't got the muscle power that sort of links his label, Chrysalis, or people like that, because they're independent, and it takes a hell of a lot to actually get a record in the charts,
which
I found out.
I know what you mean there, because a couple of weeks ago, I think, met Jeff Young, and he was like sort of telling me about promotion, and I thought, what? Promotion? I just thought, me as a naive idiot that I am, just thought, you get a record and it gets airplay, and then that's it. I didn't think about the actual money and the finance that goes into
it. Well, it's really funny because to get a single in the charts, I mean, you have to pay a certain company, you pay them £3,500 just to actually take the singles round and give them away. So you pay for the guy to walk round the record shots with them.
Really?
And you have to pay for the records to be given away for it.
Well, I'll tell you what, Paul, right, if you give me £3.50, I'll do it. All right? I'll walk around with it.
Scotland.
Yes, I'll walk to Scotland. Well, I pedalled here on my bike, so anything's possible. Right, going back in time, we shall now spin the first record that you made, in fact, with Direct Drive.
That's
right?
It, yes.
And what's the song?
This is called Don't Depend On Me.
Thank you. first day that we've known each other, all you did was mess around. You think that you have got the answer, but the question still stands. You have never had the day of 9 to 5, 'cause you never make it on time.
Single from Direct Drive. And with me live in the studio, in fact, I've got their infamous keyboard player, young Paul Harcaster, who has now left Direct Drive and gone off and done his own thing. We shall be chatting here. Right, as the record fades away, let's get his microphone channel up. Right, young Paul, we were busily having a chat there while that record was playing, swinging at the cider. Well, I was, but Paul wasn't. So, after you did that one, what was the next course of action?
Well, we thought we'd try a ballad. I'd wrote a ballad, and we took it down to Oval and asked them what they thought of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie, he said he thought it was great, so we decided we was going to put that out.
Right.
And Time's Running Out actually came from a session we done at Capital Radio.
Mm-hmm. I see. Oh, I see. Now, it's a funny story about Capital Radio, because I was saying to Paul that why have you not got any airplay from the two main jocks on the legal stations, i.e. basically Greg on Capital and Robbie on Radio London. Can you tell us why that's...
Well, Robbie was really into Time Machine, and I don't know what happened with him on Time Running Out. Maybe he just didn't like that, you know, which is fair enough. But Greg, when we done a PA at the Lyceum, he said, you know, I suppose you're wondering why we don't play your music. Well, I said, well, yeah.
Yeah.
Why? You know, I mean, if he didn't like it, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
But his excuse was that because we was on Oval Records, which is actually run by Charlie Gillett.
Right.
Charlie Gillett works for Capitol, and Greg thought that people would say, oh, he's just doing it for a favour.
Really? But how many people would actually know that, other than the fact you've just told about, I don't know, 30,000 people across London town, that Charlie Gillett works for Capitol Radio? I mean, I never know. Not that I know anything.
No, I don't think anyone really knew.
Really?
It was just an excuse in my ears.
See, for a long, long while, I mean, I have great debates with Chris Stewart, right? And I say that, look, why is it that there are bands come up like yourself and you just don't get the breaks? You know, to me, it seems rather criminal. And you look at something like, I don't know, Adam and the Ant, you know, and Ant Rep, and the man gets umpteen publicity, pictures blasted everywhere. And, you know, I can't understand that.
Well, it's just, I suppose, it's people want something in the charts. I mean, they want something that's so simple,
yeah,
that they can latch onto. And if you sort of do something like da da da, it seems that they can sort of get that. If you're not prepared to do that,
yeah,
which we're not,
no,
you know, I mean, we there's no way we're going to do that.
I'm great. I'm really glad. I'm glad for it. Really,
they don't really want to sort of know. But we've had a bit of success in like on Capitol now through the daytime jocks, like when we've done Also No Name.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I bet I can remember. Was it Tony Blackburn, I think?
Yeah.
Tony Blackburn spun it, and I thought, what? But, I mean, he's a nice guy, Tony. Right, and on my left-hand turntable, I've got Paul's ballad that he was talking about, entitled.
I think you've put the wrong side on.
Oh, I have, yes.
Time's running out.
Oh. If you're interested in becoming a presenter on Horizon FM, all right, send in a tape now, because I've just got the sack.
Want to swap jobs?
Yeah, all right, Paul. Thank you. Young Paul was going to attempt to read out some requests then, and he said, "Me, oh, I can't read what they say. Never mind, we'll forget that." Go on then, read them out. Go on, try.
Right. Morden, reception's very good. Hello to Tony and Paul down in Funky Morden. That comes from John. Please play The Message. Rachel of Putney, she says the reception's very good. Big hello to everyone at Horizon, and she'll see you all down at the Beehive on Thursday.
Right, Paul, Rachel. May I stop you there? Yes, yes, we're doing a benefit gig down at the Beehive Pub, Roman Road, London E2. Hopefully, if I wave a Big Mac in front of Paul, he might wander down there and sign a few copies of things. And
for a Big Mac.
For a Big Mac, yeah, anything definitely. For a Big Mac. All right, okay. And what's the final one you got on your little list there?
Yeah, it comes from Barnett. Says reception's very good. Hello to Phil. Phil Atoll, it looks like. Don and Leslie, Baldy, Liz, Dean and Debbie, Spencer and Mike, and that comes from Jamie.
Right, excellently read, sir. Very good. I definitely think you're very in my job. I can't play the keyboards, but I think you could perhaps be a presenter. All right, talking to Paul Harcastle, right, a member of First Light, and we're just generally chatting about his career so far, infamous that it may be. While that little tune was playing, Paul, you were telling me that you had been approached by quite a few major labels. What ones?
There was, well, the main one we think so far is Virgin.
Mm-hmm.
There's sort of talks going on between my record company at the moment.
Right.
At the moment.
Mm-hmm.
There was DJM had some interest.
Really?
Yeah. Charlie was actually having some talks with, I think it was Geffen from America.
Yeah.
Arista.
Right.
What was the others? Island. And see, I can't remember the other one, to be true.
But to name a few.
Yeah.
Now, I said to Paul, that's strange, Virgin, because Virgin have got this jazz funk thing or something. I mean, they got a Loose End and
Eye Level.
Yeah. But, and now, perhaps First Light, who knows? Well, how do you feel about that?
To tell you the truth, you know, it's only... they haven't really talked about it that much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have actually sort of given us positive things that they're ready to talk.
Right.
But... you know, we'll have to sort of all go down and have a meeting. I mean,
yeah.
Charlie's just on holiday at the moment.
Really?
So he'll be back in.
Charlie's your manager, I take it?
He actually runs Oval Records, but he looks after a lot of our
Does
things.
He really?
Yes.
Right. Talking about going back to Oval Records, is it actually based, like, in South London?
Yes, South West 5.
Right. I was talking to Chris Stewart, as I say, some time ago, and he was saying to me, that you started a mixing album, i.e. First Light started a mixing album.
That's right.
And there was a big mistake with the engineer. Can you tell me, can you sort of enlighten me about what happened?
A big mistake?
Yeah, he said something about that you'd done virtually one side of the album and you said to the engineer, right, you've got to sort of sort things out, and he wiped it all off. All your hours' work had gone to waste. Or days' work, should I? Days of night work.
Oh, no, what happened was we had just finished mixing, I think it was the first time we tried mixing Horse with No Name.
Yeah.
And he was just rewinding the tape, and we'd sort of been there about 6 hours.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we heard about a crunching sort of noise.
And we looked around. I mustn't laugh. And all your work just went...
yep.
Just went. Right. What kind of hours do you put in at the studio when you get a record up?
It all depends. We try not to do sort of more than about maybe 10 hours, because after about...
Sorry? More than 10?
Yeah.
I mean, the normal working day is 8.
Yes, well... It takes, I mean, you'd be surprised how long it takes to mix a track, you know.
Really?
You usually spend a day, actually, to mix a track.
Oh.
But we have actually sort of gone in there at 10 in the morning.
Yeah.
And sort of come out there about 4 the next morning.
Right.
With a headache.
Yeah, yeah. Going back to sort of me trudging around on my travels, I met the guys from Central Line a couple of weeks ago in Hackney, and they were going into the session studio. And I couldn't believe it. Like, you actually, when you walk into a recording studio, right, everything's soundproofed. You can't hear a pin drop.
That's right.
You shut the door, and it's like a big safe. And you're in. And I said, "Well, what happens, guys?" And they went, "Well, we just stay here." And like, they, I said, "What time do you get?" And they said that they'd been there for about 10 in the morning. And when I met them, it was 9:30. And they said, "We still got another 2 tracks to do, and we got to do them, or else we just lose money or something like that." Because he was saying that the cost to actually put a record together is extremely expensive.
It does work out to a lot of money.
Mm.
You're talking about sort of £35 basic an hour.
What?
Yes, just for like the recording.
Really?
And you got the I mean, the actual tape that you use is sort of £65, 2-inch, just for reel of tape.
I'm speechless. Absolutely stunned.
It runs up the old pennies. Yeah.
Really? So, I mean, looking back at what you were saying in the beginning, after 8 weeks of playing the synthesizer into direct drive, and then... And I'm on to First Light, and then, you know, you're mixing tapes that cost a small fortune.
Well, yeah. The funniest part about it is we was talking to Bill Sharp from
mm-hmm.
Shack Attack.
Right.
And, you know, they, as we do, we produce ourselves, Derek and I, and they do their own as well. And like Bill was saying, that the guy that actually is producing Dollar at the moment, and ABC, it's £2,000 a track for production. Excuse me.
It's all right.
£2 a track plus, plus 6%.
Really?
Really. Speaking of where we produce ourselves.
I see. Obviously, for that reason, you produce yourself. Right. And talking about production, what about this one?
What
tell
do I
me,
say?
Well, tell, just tell me about the production.
Oh, what can I say about it?
I'll tell you what, right, we won't say anything. We'll just let the record do the talking.
Thank you.
right, and don't be mistaken. I remember the first time I played that record, I was at the Regency Suite, and the whole floor just erupted, they all freaked out. Young Paul, Thumb the Thumbs Hardcastle. All right, it's 11 after 11, and I'm chatting with Paul Hardcastle, bass player, keyboard player, guitarist of the band First Night. Right, Paul, tell us about the album.
Hopefully, the end of September, it should be out and about.
Out and about, right, right. And what kind of things are you going to do? Or what kind of things ahead do you plan on doing? I mean, it's going to be ballads or a couple of instrumentals.
Oh, we've tried to really sort of, we've put, there's a couple of slowies.
Mm-hmm.
There's AM, which you've heard.
Right.
Don't Be Mistaken will be on there, slightly different mix. Horsey's going to be on there.
Right.
And it's quite varied, but we've actually sort of put it together where, I mean, we had a talk about it a long time before we actually done it.
Yeah.
And the thing that really sort of bored me and Derek was the fact that when we bought an album, it would be like two maybe good tracks on some of them.
Mm.
And then the rest was sort of like throwaway tracks, they sounded like. And what we've actually done is put everything that we thought was the best of our ability on it.
That's interesting.
Rather than that.
Because while that record, of course, was playing, I was talking to you about Paul currently dropped the name of Bill Sharp from Shack Attack.
Oh, yeah.
And I said to Paul that that's a band that's really taken off. I mean,
yeah, they have done well. You know, they've sort of got it together with like the commerciality point of it. And he's a great guy, though, Bill. He actually, we done a session for Radio 1 not too long ago.
Right.
And Bill actually is a proper BBC engineer.
Really?
And he actually, he's a really good engineer as well.
Uh-huh.
He mixed it for us.
So, young Donald, this hope for you, yeah, my friend. All right. So he sort of helped you out and things
like
that?
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Is there a lot of camaraderie amongst the other jazz funk bands there?
I think so. You know, we're all in the sort of same boat.
So to speak. Obviously, the $6 million question is that, I mean, like, the first thing I found interesting about yourself is you've kept it all at street level. I mean, you don't mind. But what happens if you get signed by CBS and sent off on a world tour? Do you think you'll remember where you've rooted from, so to speak?
I think I will. I'll tell you what, when I met Sketch, we had, there was a little do sort of thing down at, I think it was called, not Hombres, Le Beach.
I remember it well. I remember you telling me about it, in fact.
And, you know, we come, I think, direct drive when I was with them. We came six, I think it was, best newcomers of 81. And, you know, I was talking to Sketch down there.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he's had quite a bit of success.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he stays, you know, the same, always ready to greet you sort of thing. And that was the same I found with Dave Grant.
Mm-hmm.
We was looking at studios, and Dave Grant was actually sort of doing something to one of his records.
Right.
And, you know, he sort of saw us there, and it's a bit funny when you're trying to do something, you'd like to be a bit private.
Yeah, yeah.
But the first thing, he sort of come to the door, he put his hand out, he said, "Oh, I'm Dave, come in, have a listen," you know? And that, I thought, was really good, and that's why, when sort of people ask me questions, like,
yeah,
I always sort of give them to a bit of a mention, because it really impressed me what they've done.
That's good, because, I mean, it's quite funny, really. People say to me, oh, you know, I've been out there and they say, "Oh, you know, what's it like?" And I say, "Look, right, first things first is I'm here because I enjoy it, but I don't want to escalate at any point of that.
Yeah.
Don't put me down as the next Greg Edwards or the next Robbie Vincent, because to me, you know, I just think that's wrong. You know, it's about keeping it at street level and about helping guys like yourself and Freeze and Eye Level and all the rest of them really getting it."
Yeah, it's just a pity that, you know, some of the DJs don't play a bit more of the British sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll exclude Horizon FM, because I think they really are behind, you know, British bands a lot, which is a good thing. I mean, I'm sure, you know, that the American sort of stuff has got as much push as it's ever going to need.
Right.
We need it a little bit more than they do.
Yeah, definitely. Talking about America, any visions of
it?
I know it's early days yet, but...
I'll tell you something which is quite funny. Horse with No Name, we just found out, has just got released, well, a couple of weeks ago, just got released in Australia.
Well, we could always go down for a pint of Foster's now again.
Meet a few Sheilas.
Yeah. But you can't sort of envisage any plans just here?
At the moment, you know, I wouldn't sort of say anything that we're going to, because I've got no positive information about it. You know, I'd only sort of like to give out positive information. I mean, some people say, oh, yeah, we'll do this and that.
Right.
And then when it doesn't come, they look stupid.
Yeah, so I see.
I'm not into that.
I'll tell you what I've forgotten. Are you a professional musician, i.e. is making music your living? Or do you do...
Yes, it is.
It is, right, I see. I thought you
that
might...
That was the best thing that's happened to me all year, actually.
Really?
Walking out of my 9-to-5 job, yeah.
It was really... Yes, the engine.
This is
shooting
that
lot, aren't we? Is he really? Right, okay, just in case you didn't know. Right, I'm chatting to Paul Harcastle, member of First Light, in fact, the innovator, bass player, Thunderthumbs, entrepreneur, and everything else. And he was telling me that one of his fave tracks at present moment of time is this one. It's the offering from Congress on the Tutti Frutti record label. And the instrumental version of that, you gotta get it. Congress, and you got to get it. Well, young Paul, why do you like that particular record? Can you tell me?
Oh, I like it. I think the keyboard
player is
really nice.
He's into keyboard playing.
No, the synth.
Oh, the synth. All right, sorry. Congress fades away, and it's 11:21 on a Sunday. What's the plan of action now? What will your day be tomorrow? That's all.
Oh dear, let's see. Well, I can't really say, Greg. I'll just wait till it happens.
Right, you just sort of tick along from day to day. That's a fairly good existence. Are you off on your holidays or anything like that? You
know? No.
Lack of money, perhaps.
No, not lack of money.
Oh, millionaire. Oh, that's it.
No, I've. You know, I've got to sort of stick around while this is actually happening.
Really?
About with a record company.
I see.
Derek's, as I say, he's left me. He's flown off to Greece today, this morning.
Left you in it, literally.
Yeah. Okay. So, Derek, if you're listening...
we have the technology to transmit our signal to Greece. Well, could you imagine how we could funk up the Greece? It's pretty funky anyway. Paul's got to vanish off now, and in fact, I've got to vanish off. I've got about 10 minutes left of my programme, and then Chris Stewart's going to come up and entertain your earlobe. So, if Paul would kindly spin round and map this magic switch, the brand new offering from First Light. It's entitled AM.